As you know, we've just come off a really amazing missions month, and to be honest, I'm still really flying high from that. What was so interesting to me was the really diverse mix of people that we had, just people of different temperaments, such different speaking styles, different gifts and callings, but every one of them with this deep love for the Lord and this passion to see the gospel of Jesus spread throughout the world. And so I was just so thankful for that. And to be honest, whenever I hear missionaries speak, I just feel that old tug on my heart that says, go, like, go to Palau, go to Israel, you know, PNG. And but having said that, you know, in examining my heart, I know for sure that this is where God wants me. And I'm confident he's called me here. And I'm really thankful to be privileged to be part of this church for many reasons. But one reason is because this is a church that's committed to sending missionaries all around the world and standing behind them in prayer and in support. And I just love that. I love that right here. From rural St. John's, by God's grace, we're kind of like a command center, launching these long-range gospel missiles all over the world. And I love that, hitting targets that we could never reach here in this community, but through missionaries, we're reaching them. And, you know, North Korea, they're developing long-range missiles to kill. We're developing long-range gospel missiles to give life, life for all of eternity. And so I've been challenged, though, during this month especially, to be faithful, not just in long-range view, but also short-range, right here in the community, spreading the good news right where God's put me, just like those missionaries are doing in the communities that God has placed them. And so that's why I think it's a privilege for all of us to be involved in things like the Easter Outreach, Sportsman's Banquet, and just our everyday contacts with people that we come across. And I just want to keep kindling that flame. I just want to keep stoking that fire so that we never lose that passion for seeing lost people come to know Jesus. I hope that never flickers out here. And so I just want to keep stoking that in our hearts. And it's just been great. Missions Month was a great month for me, and I hope it was for you. But I am grateful to be back in the pulpit again, because to me, it is a holy privilege, a privilege I don't deserve, to be able to stand here and open this book that has the power to transform lives. And so my prayer has always been just, Lord, help us hear what you want to say, and then help us to live it. And, you know, I just want to stand back. I just want to be a channel that God uses and then just stand back and watch his Spirit work in my heart and in yours. And that's my prayer. So let's open God's Word together today. This is what it's all about, the Word of God. Let's turn to Psalm 105, basically right close to the middle of your Bible. Psalm 105, it's the same text that I read this morning in our call to worship. Give you just a minute to locate Psalm 105. And I'd just like to focus our attention, if we could, this morning on verse 4 of Psalm 105. And this is what verse 4 says. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. I think it was about a year ago that I got a phone call from a friend of mine, a solid Christian guy, a younger guy. And he just said, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And I could tell the urgency in his voice. He said, something's wrong. And I said, you know, what's going on? He said, I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I've been confessing any known sin that I have to God. But I just have this kind of empty feeling that I can't shake at all. I just have this feeling that my prayers are just kind of bouncing off the ceiling. They're not being heard. I have this feeling that I'm just walking through the motions of Christianity and feeling like my faith isn't real at all. It's just a sham. And he said, I just feel distant from God right now, just very far from God, and I just can't explain why. And he was really shaken up. I don't think he'd ever experienced anything like that before in his Christian walk, his journey of faith. And so I asked him just a few more questions, just to try to probe, to try to diagnose if there was something deeper, maybe that he wasn't telling me, trying to cover something, but he wasn't. That was basically it. He just felt distant, and he couldn't explain why. And so I said to him, can I just share something with you that I hope will encourage you? I said, you're not alone. I've been there in that position. In fact, I've been there more than a few times in my Christian life. And the truth is, most everybody in their Christian experience goes through spells in their walk with God from time to time, times when God just seems so distant, and you can't explain why. I told him, this may be the first time you've ever experienced that, but what he was describing is not weird or abnormal at all. I wanted that to encourage him. And I told him, in fact, as you read the Bible, you see that some of the strongest believers, the people that God lifts up as people of faith, they went through these dry spells. You see that in the life of Elijah. You see it pretty clearly in the life of Peter. Anthony preached about that aspect a couple weeks ago. You see that in John the Baptist, right? You see it in the Apostle Paul. And you really see it in the life of the one who penned much of the Psalms, the life of David. And if you don't believe me, just start reading through the Psalms. And you see things like Psalm 10. Why, Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself? And you keep turning the pages, Psalm 13. Oh, Lord, will you forget me forever? Psalm 22, my God, why are you so far from helping me? Psalm 42, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? And I think most of us can identify with those type of sentiments, can't we? If we're honest, most of us can agree that there are times that we go through when God, for whatever reason, just seems very distant, seems hidden from us. And I believe that our passage today really speaks directly to that type of feeling. Look with me again at verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. You know, that word face right there is often translated presence. One translation has it, seek God's presence continually. Have you ever been in a situation where you saw someone from a distance and you thought, I think I know that person? But it wasn't until you walked and you approached and you got a little bit closer and you saw their face. And then you said, yeah, that's my friend. That's the person I thought it was. You know, the same way here, that word face, that's translated presence, is talking about drawing close to God in a spiritual sense. It's speaking of the sense that God is very present and near. But notice I said the sense that he is present or near. I said the sense that he is near because the truth really is that God is always present. In fact, that's one of the core truths of the Bible that theologians call the omnipresence of God. Omnipresence simply means that God's not limited like we are by time or by space, and he can be present everywhere at the same time. That's a God-like quality that we don't possess, but God does. He's omnipresent. He's not limited. So that if you're launched up into space on an Apollo mission, he's there. Or if you drill down to the core of the earth, he's there. Or if you go out to the middle of the ocean and you find yourself on a tiny island, maybe you find yourself on Palau. Believe it or not, he's there. God's there. We cannot flee from his presence. The Bible teaches that. And so no matter where we are, he sees, he hears, he knows, he's present. I read about a pastor who was counseling a man who just recently trusted in Christ as Savior. He'd turned from his sins. He'd put his trust in Jesus to save him, but he was still struggling with some things in his life. And he said to the pastor, you know, I'm reading my Bible and trying to be faithful in that, but you know, there's just one thing I can't really kick the habit of, and that's just my mouth. I swear. I keep swearing. And he said, it's kind of just like, I'll be doing good, and then all of a sudden, just boom, you know, like out of nowhere. It's like a burp you can't control. He explained it that way. And the pastor said, well, just give me an example. Show me how that works then. Just go ahead and curse right now. And the man's, you know, he's embarrassed. I can't do that. And the pastor's like, sure you can. Let it fly. Let's hear it. And he said, no. And the pastor's like, why not? And he says, you're a pastor, man. I can't just curse right in front of you like that. I can't just let that out like that. And then the pastor came back and he said this, if you're afraid to swear in my presence, why aren't you ashamed to do it in the Lord's presence? Because he's always present. You know, and that's the truth. And wow, if we could only live like that, with the knowledge that God is present with me wherever I go. You know, the omnipresence of God isn't just this weird cerebral thought. It's a reality that ought to change us in the daily life. He's present. In fact, there's all kinds of really precious promises I hold on to in times of distress that talk about God's presence, especially in the life of Christians. And when I say Christian, again, I'm talking about people who have repented from their sin and put their trust in Jesus alone to save them. There's promises for people like that. One of the promises I love to return to, especially for people who are suffering many times in the hospital, and you know it as well as I do, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You're with me. It's a promise of his presence. There's promises like Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And those are the kind of promises that we just have to latch onto. But they're promises about his presence. The fact, I'm always going to be present with you. You don't have to doubt that. I'm with you. His presence abides with us. But here's the thing. David and other psalms also talk about God's presence being hidden from us. And so how do those two things reconcile? Why does the Bible say things like it says right here in our text in verse 4? Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face or his presence continually. And here's the question. If he is always present, then why should we ever have to seek his presence? And that's the question I want to think about this morning with you. Why is that? If he's present, why does it command us here to seek his presence? And I believe there's an answer for that. And I believe the answer is because we don't always sense it. We don't always feel it. We don't always experience it. Though it's reality, it doesn't always feel like a reality. And you know, there's a huge difference between just acknowledging the truth that God is omnipresent and actually experiencing that in our heart and in our soul and letting the joy of that fill us. There's a difference between the head knowledge of it and the experience of God's presence. I know we could all probably, as we started brainstorming together, I think we could think of some reasons why that is, why it is that we don't always have like a clear sense or experience of his presence. Probably the most obvious reason is unconfessed sin in our life. We know from the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to hide from God. They didn't want to be in his presence. We know that when Jonah disobeyed God and he went the opposite way of Nineveh, what was he doing? He was trying to flee from the presence of God. You know, an impossible feat, fleeing from the presence of God. But that it was that sin that caused him to feel that way. I don't want to even know that I'm in God's presence. I don't want to be close to him right now. And then there's the people of Israel. When they sinned against God and they built a golden calf and they said, "Look, Israel, this is your God. These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt." And God was angry and he said to Moses, If that's how they see it, then from this point on, my presence will not go with you." And what does Moses respond? Does he come back and say, "Now, God, I know you're omnipresent, so whether you like it or not, you're here with us"? Does he say that? No. No, he says, "God, if your presence doesn't go with us, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. Because I can't make it without your presence." That's what he says. And so Moses, he understood what God was talking about. He understood that God was talking about his experienced presence, that kind of the joy of his presence in terms of fellowship and blessing and favor and provision. That's what God was saying was not going to go with them. My favor is not going to be on you. You're not going to experience the joy of fellowship. I'm not going to provide for you like I have. I'm cutting that off because of you, your reaction, your sin. Until that's confessed and dealt with, that's how it's going to be. And Moses understood the difference between the omnipresence of God in general and that real feeling of the favor of God and his presence with us. Sin breaks that. Sin, like Pastor Larry so well put it in a few Sunday schools ago, sin breaks that fellowship between us and God, and it puts this felt kind of distance there. So unconfessed sin, it's one of the reasons we don't always have the joy and experience of God's presence. But now that I've said that, I want to make something very clear to all of us here. Everybody here needs to know that the feeling of being distant from God is not always the direct result of sin in our life, unconfessed sin. Sometimes we just can't pinpoint why we feel that way. It's interesting, just in the last month, I talked with several people about some health problems, and each one kind of stated, you know, it's just kind of frustrating when someone's in pain or they're sick, and you really can't pinpoint what's causing it. I think about that for, you know, Tim and Courtney and the tests that they're going through. Just haven't been able to just really pinpoint it. And the frustrating thing about that is because it's really hard to prescribe a treatment when you don't know what's causing the problem. It just gets frustrating. And I think the same's true in the spiritual life. It's frustrating to not know what's causing this feeling of distance between us and God. I mean, we've examined our life. Hopefully that's the first thing you do when you feel that distance. You examine, is there some sin that's standing between me and God? Lord, reveal that to me. Show me. Because I don't want that there. I want to deal with that. I want to confess it. But then What if you've done that and you just can't pinpoint it? What's causing this? Why am I going through this drought, this spiritual dryness in my life? And I hate to say this, but I don't know. Can I admit that? I don't know. And I'm not sure that the Bible always gives us the reason why. I have my suspicions about why. I suspect that one of the main reasons is because the Bible tells us in Genesis 3 that this whole world is under a curse. And that curse is not going to be broken until Christ returns. And so in that curse, we all just groan. There's all this just fallout because of the curse. And so everything's messed up. Even our emotions and our feelings are messed up. So I think because of that, this whole world groaning like that, our bodies groaning, I think that this feeling of distance that we have sometimes, and some of you are maybe just looking at me like, what are you talking about? I think at some point in your Christian experience, you'll feel this if you haven't. But I think it can be caused by bodily pain. I really do, because that's where your mind is focused. It's focused on that pain. I think it can be caused by just difficult circumstances you're in right now. Maybe family stresses. You've got little children, and it's like 24 hours a day. I think it can be a lack of sleep. I think it can even be genetic, like hereditary, things that are passed down from your family. And, you know, I think it can even be things like the weather, like too many gray days in a row. And you just get this sense of, like, I just feel distant, and I don't know why. Our emotions are crazy, sensitive things. And I do want to stress, though, that our faith in Jesus Christ is not built on feelings. It's not built on an emotion or a feeling. Our faith is built on a settled confidence in God and in His Word. I like that hymn that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's where my faith is attached. It's attached to a person, Jesus Christ. It's attached to my belief that He died for me. He lived a perfect life. He did what I couldn't do, and then He died to pay for my sins, and then He rose. Those are facts that I believe are true, and that's where my faith is anchored. It's not anchored on how I'm feeling on any particular day, because feelings, they come and go. They can deceive us. They're very inaccurate guides. Our faith isn't anchored in our feelings. It's anchored in the truth. But, you know, having said that, I don't think that means that we can just ignore our emotions as if they're totally unimportant. I don't think that's true either, because I see that God commands us to have emotions in response to our faith. He says, if you believe this, let it fill you with joy. That's an emotion, right? How can we be commanded to have an emotion? He commands us to have this joy based on what? Based on the truth we believe. He commands us to be at peace because of that truth. He commands us just to have hope because we believe that. These are all emotions, faith and love and peace and hope. Those are emotions. Those emotions ought to be in our life as a result of what we believe, right? And as we've said, sin can sap those feelings away. But the simple truth is that sometimes just that sense of joy isn't there, and we don't know why. It happened to me just a few weeks ago. I went through like a 48-hour period of just feeling spiritually dry, just empty inside. And I was saying in my heart, God, I know You're there. Lord, I confess the truths of Your Word. I know I'm Your child because of Jesus. I know those things, but could You just show me in some way? You know, just do a little something that shows You're just so close. And I started thinking about that. My wife tells me I think too much, and I know I do. it's like in the movies, you know, when the car breaks down and they say a prayer and boom, you know, it starts right up, you know, and they're like, yeah, thank the Lord, He's here. sees me, or like those movies where they are down in the football game and they have this impossibly long field goal to kick and they pray and boom, and it goes through. Yeah. Just something like that, Lord. Could you, I don't know. You know, I'd like my life to be a little less like Charlie Brown and more like Rocky, you know. I think about that. But then I start going downhill from there. I start self-pity, you know, those type of things. But, you know, I'm like, I know these things. I just like to experience it a little bit deeper way. I even started making deals. I'm like, Lord, if you do some, like, miracle answer to prayer, I'm going to tell everybody. I'll give you all the glory, I promise. I just want to see that. Show me you care, as if he hasn't in a million ways in my life. I know you guys don't do things like that, but I was just feeling down. I was feeling distant for no reason, and just wondering why. I think God has his reasons. I know God has his reasons. In the 17th century, there was a Puritan theologian named John Owen. If you can get a hold of anything he's written, read it. It's good. But he offers this possibility for why we might have that feeling. He said, Christ withdraws himself in order to make us appreciate him more so that we diligently seek for him as we would seek for a lost precious treasure. And I like that. I mean, I don't totally understand that. I mean, why would there be that withdrawal? I don't know. But if it causes us to push us closer to Christ, then I understand that. It makes us return to Christ and the cross and the gospel because we're so prone to wander from that. And he just wants us close. So maybe sometimes he withdraws so that we keep pursuing him and we never stop pursuing him. I get that. And my guess is God has a lot more good and valid reasons than that that we probably wouldn't even understand if he explained them to us. But the thing is, we all want to know the why. Why am I feeling that? But, you know, the question of why is not half as important as the question of what to do when that happens. What do we do? It's not so important why it happened, unless it's sin and you need to confess that. That's important. But really trying to probe into the deep questions of the universe and why we feel that way is not so important as what to do in that moment. And that's what I just want to close with. What do you do according to the Bible when you feel that distance and you can't explain it? And I have to say, you know, I didn't choose this text this morning by just closing my eyes and kind of thumbing through the Bible and saying, let's do that. I chose this because I need it. I need it. What do we do when we sense that God is distant? It's in verse 4. Seek his face evermore. Seek his face, seek his presence continually. You might think, that's it? I came for that. This is God's prescription, right? And David found this as something valuable to him. How many times did David feel distant? I think David's preaching to himself here too, not just to us. He's preaching to himself. David found this to be the solution to that. Seek the Lord and his presence continually. We see that it's got to be something that's not done passively. This is an active type of seeking, just like a person would seek for a treasure. It's an active thing. You know, the worst thing we can do when we feel distant is to quit seeking. A lot of people, when they feel depressed or distant from God, they just quit seeking. They go lax on reading the Word. They fill their time with other things, just trying to get their mind off life, entertainment. They go lax on reading the Word. A lot of times their prayer life suffers. If he's distant anyway, then what's the use? It's just bouncing off. And your prayer life begins to suffer. Sometimes they say, you know, I'm not right, so I'm just going to take a break from the people of God. I'm just going to take a break from church. And in these ways, they just kind of let their spiritual guard down. And you begin to get filled with self-pity. And you know, at that point, when you've gone lax on your seeking, just said, I'm not finding him, so I'm just going to quit seeking. It's at that point when you're prime target for temptation. You're primed for that at that point. And Satan knows that. And that's why it says right here, seek his presence continually. It's an active type of seeking. Where many go wrong and lose the battle against sin is when they quit seeking. So when you feel distant from God, don't distance yourself further. Seek the Lord. Go all out in your seeking. Maybe you're not going to feel it. Maybe the emotions aren't going to follow, but keep seeking like you'd seek a precious treasure. Because the promise in Scripture is, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. That's Deuteronomy 4, but the idea is it's not just this passive thing, sit back and watch and wait. No, it's an active seeking with all your heart, with all your soul. And he said, you'll find me on that treasure. If you do a search on just seeking God in the Bible, there's a lot the Bible has to say about seeking God, but what you'll quickly notice is that it's this diligent thing. It's this focused seeking. And then second, look, it says seek his face or seek his presence. And remember that face, it's like a metaphor for being so close that we're face to face. We see the details of his face, not physically. No man has seen God and lived. But spiritually, we see him for who he is. We understand here is a holy God. Here is a God who is good. We see him face to face for who he is and in his glory. When we're distant from him, we kind of lose perspective. We start questioning, is he good? Is he wise if he did that in my life? But when we're face to face, we see, no, he's full of glory. He is good. He is wise. You know, we should never be content to be so distant from him that we can't see him for who he really is. Never content. We should have this holy discontentment to hold him at a distance. That metaphor of face, being face to face, and not being content until we're close. You know, in the Bible, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, David uses this exact same phrase in a passage that's talking about the tabernacle. And what happened there was David had finally brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Prior to that, the Philistines had captured it, and they had it, and then it gets placed in another place for a while. I won't go into all the story, but it was David's desire to get the Ark in Jerusalem among his people where it belonged. And he really didn't have any rest in his soul until the Ark was there, because he knew that the ark represented God's presence. And so he diligently worked to get that ark back. And when it did, they had this huge parade. It was just joy. He danced to the Lord. He praised the Lord. And he used this phrase in his praise. He said, seek his presence continually. He's present with us. This is kind of like the visible sign of that. Just his favor's on us. He brought the ark back, and here we can see it. And he was so happy, but he was not content until he sensed that. Then and only then, when the ark was there, the sign of his presence was there, did he feel content. And so it says, seek his face. Don't be content until you're face to face. Until you can sense that presence with you. And then last it says, seek it continually. And I think he says it continually because he knows our proclivity as people to wander from God. You know that song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, take and seal it. I just want it to be sealed in love to you, so that I don't keep wandering from you. We're prone to wander, and that's why he says continually. continually. Don't give this up. There's a story about a guy named Darby, and he had an uncle, and they got all caught up in that gold fever that spread throughout the United States, that movement westward. And he moved from Maryland to Colorado to strike it rich. And they staked their claim. They got to work with their pickaxe and their shovels. And after weeks of working hard, they actually found gold. But they realized that they're going to need some more machinery. You know, their primitive tools wasn't going to do the job. And so they went back to Maryland and they got some loans and they raised some money, promised to pay it back because they knew they'd struck gold. They got all that equipment out there. And that first car of gold ore was mined and shipped, and the returns they got back said, this is going to be one of the richest mines in Colorado. And they thought, yeah, just a few more cars of that, we'll pay off our loans, pay off our debts, and then we're going to start getting the profits. We're going to be rich. And so they kept drilling. Their hope was high. But then all of a sudden, that vein of gold disappeared. They couldn't find it. They kept drilling, just desperate, trying to pick up that vein of gold again. They couldn't find it. And so just frustrated, discouraged with their life, they sold all their equipment to a junk dealer and gave it up, headed home. But that junk dealer, he called in a mining engineer. And that mining engineer did some calculations. And those calculations showed exactly where the vein of gold would be picked up again. And you know where it was? It was 3 feet from where they stopped. 3 feet away. They never knew it. 3 feet away. But that junk dealer, he said, well, I'm going to let it go that easy. I'm going to keep seeking. I'll call someone in on this. We're going to seek. And they found it 3 feet away. So I thought about that. You know, I think there's something far more precious than gold. And that's our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's knowing Him, the one who satisfies, the one who gives eternal life, the one who is eternal life. How many people, though, in times of darkness, times of distance, they quit seeking, like those miners. It's no use. They lose sight of the value of the treasure. They get distracted by other pursuits, maybe. And because of that, because they quit seeking continually, they lose out on the precious treasure that could be theirs. The joy that's just around the corner, maybe 3 feet away. Seek Him. That's what we need to do. How do we do it? Is it just pure force of the will? Is it just pull up your bootstraps and try harder? Or are there some attitudes, some actions that will help us? Is there a certain mindset that we should try to develop? I think there's hints about that in the context. And next week, Lord willing, we will look at those. We've looked at what to do in those times today. And next week, Lord willing, how to go about doing that. Let's close in prayer. Well, God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for how true it is. And what I thank You for about Your word is that it points us to You, the treasure. God, help us never lose sight of Your value. In the dark, in the distant times, help us to never stop seeking, to always plunge back into Your word, to always call out to You, and to be diligent not to give up. God, help us. We're weak. We give up. But through Your grace, You can help us. And so I pray that You would. In the quietness of this moment, while we have our heads bowed, I just want to put out a question today. Is there anybody here today who say, I'm kind of in that, I'm in that mode where I just feel distant, and I just would ask you to pray for me this morning. Is there anybody like that? You just raise your hand real quickly and say, yes, I'm right there. Thank You. So I just want to pray for you. Oh God, the people that raised their hand just now, that I lift them before You.
And I pray you'd give them the grace to seek you and to not give up. God, I pray that they would cling to that promise that when they seek you with all their heart and all their soul, that you will be found. And I pray that when you're found there, you would fill their hearts back up with the joy of knowing you and the joy of walking in your presence. God, I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. We're dismissed.